Greetings in the name of Jesus. My name is Imad Audi, and I hope this message will bless your heart, challenge your mind, and draw you closer to Jesus.
As being the last message of this camp meeting, and we spoke about faith, we spoke about what we have in God, who we are, and so forth, I just wanted to take this opportunity to highlight some key points that are crucial and important for our walk, to walk the walk of faith. Does that make sense?
Going forward.
Good title. Going forward. Thank you. So there you go. We're going to look at how to go forward. What are some of the things that I need to realize, I need to understand in order to walk that walk of faith? Because at the end of the day, God used human language to relate to us His thoughts, right? That's what we have in His Word. He uses His Spirit to impress our heart. What is God? What does God want us to believe? What does God want us to understand in order to live and walk that walk of faith? So I thought of some key points. So all what I have on the slides, you will have just the key point and some verses that I'd like to talk and bring the point out using these verses. Is that fine? Okay. So the first thing is, realize that you are a sinner in need of saving. This is one of the most important things that we need to realize as we begin our walk of faith. So many times we think we assess ourselves by our conduct, and we think, you know what, some people say, well, I'm not that bad. You know, well, okay, what have I done? I got angry here. No, you need to realize how deep sin goes. Paul illustrates the situation of man in Romans 5. We don't have time to get into the whole thing. I've got a presentation there on the table entitled Righteousness by Inheritance, where I analyze Romans 5 one verse at a time. But the crux of the message Paul says in Romans chapter 5 is that the story of the human race, the salvation of the human race, is found in the story of two men. The first Adam, the last Adam. Adam, that was created in the Garden of Eden, that sinned, and all his posterity that were born of him, infected with sin, and the seed of death is in them. And the second Adam, the Son of God, who came down to planet Earth, he was divine and he was God. He conquered sin, he conquered the grave, and he has a life in him. If you have the life of the first Adam, according to the Bible, you're a sinner. If you have the life of the second Adam, you are righteous. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made what? Sinners. Even so, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The reason we are sinners is because we are born with the life of Adam. Sin passed down from the life from Adam to all his posterity. We were born with the life of the first Adam. And in the same way, as we were born with the life of Adam, hence we are born sinners, we are born with a problem, so can we be born again from the second Adam with the life of the second Adam and be born again righteous. I'm a sinner not because I sinned. I sinned because I was born a sinner. And I'm righteous not because I did righteousness. I do righteousness because I am righteous. The question is, whose life do you have? So the first thing we need to realize is, it doesn't matter how good you are, it doesn't matter how many good things you've done and how little sins you did, you are born with a problem. If you're born of man, you are born with a problem. You are born with enmity against God. God doesn't condemn you for it. God doesn't hold you guilty for it. He says, son, daughter, you have a problem, let me solve it. As we saw earlier, come into the wedding. You're born outside the wedding. Come into the wedding. So we need to realize that. That is very important for us to understand. Hence, sin is presented in the Bible as power over us. It has power over us. Paul says, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul talks about sin as an entity that is dwelling in him that causes him to do bad things. There is this carnal mind inside of Paul that causes him and leads him to commit sins. And that is the problem that the human race have. We are all born with a carnal mind. We are all born with a carnal heart. A heart that is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's what he says in Romans 8, the very following chapter. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You can't tame it, you can't bring it into subjection to the law of God. The only way to deal with this wild thing is to let it die and receive a new mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen? So this is a very important thing for us to understand. You need to understand that we are born with a problem. Problem is sin. We read in Romans 4 verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Why is it important for you to understand that you're a sinner? Because God does not justify the godly. God justifies the ungodly. The first step for you to be justified is to recognize that you are ungodly in need of godliness. And God says, okay, now you're in a place where I can save you. Because prior to that, you don't think you need a savior. You think you're okay. Right? So this is the first step. Realize that you are a sinner in need of saving. And obviously this will lead you to repent and give your heart to God. The second point is, realize that works will not save you. The natural thing for the human race is to think that we can do something. I can earn it. You need to understand that you can't do anything to save yourself. No work you can do, no amount of obedience you can do can save you. A couple of verses there. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. No one can be justified, meaning no one can be made righteous with God by the deeds of the law. By your Sabbath keeping, by your dress reform, by your health reform, by whatever else, which are good things, but they cannot justify you. They can't. And he concludes his argument in Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified, how? By faith, without what? He says, in case you didn't understand it, let me repeat it to you so clearly. Listen, you are justified without the works of the law. What are the works of the law? List as many as you can. Obeying the Ten Commandments, feeding the poor, keeping the Sabbath, whatever it is. Put them all on a pile and Paul says, okay, you finish piling them? Come on, pile it higher, pile it. Is it okay? You done? You satisfied? Now, you are justified without all these things. That's what he's saying. So whatever good work you can think of, put it here. Pile it, pile it, pile it, pile it, then read that verse. You're made righteous without all these things. Why? Because it's not your actions that put you in a problem. It was what Adam did. You were born with it before you knew what the problem was. You were born with a problem. That's why the solution to man's problem is not good works. The solution to man's problem is what? The new birth. Ah, does that mean there's a problem with my first birth? That's why I need to be born again? Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. The problem is in my first birth. I am born with a problem, and God says the only way for you out is to be born again. Because your first birth is not good. We looked at this verse many times during this camp meeting, John chapter 1, verse 12. For as many receive, as many as received him to them, as many as received him to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So who are they that receive Christ? Who are they that believe on him? Who are they that are born of God? They're not the ones that are born of man. They're not the ones that are born of the blood. Your natural birth. It is those who are born of God. It's a different birth. Another verse is Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. This is only three verses of many in the writings of Paul that clearly he emphasizes and tells you over and over and over again, you're not justified by the works of the law. Who was Paul? Who was he before he accepted Jesus? He was what? A Pharisee, a law keeper, a stickler for the law, a man who's walking in righteousness by works, a man who's trying to be accepted with God through obeying laws. You can never obey laws as much as Paul did. And when it clicked, that's why he kept harping on and telling you, listen, you cannot be justified by the law. I've done it for years. I know by experience. That's what he's saying. He was a legalist. And he received the gospel. And he tells you, this walk, seeking God through the law, doesn't work. It doesn't work. Another verse, again, Paul, and be found in him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So he says, look, I do not want to be found having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Can you attain righteousness through the law? Yes, according to Paul, you can. But it's your righteousness. And the Bible says all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And Paul, when he realized, he said, okay, all right, Lord, now I understand. I do not want to be having my own righteousness, which is of the law. I do not want to go trying to earn righteousness through keeping the law. I want to have the righteousness which is of Jesus Christ, which I attained by faith, which in Romans 3, he said, is the righteousness without the law, yet witnessed by the law and the prophets. Amen? All right, so that's point two. Realize that works will not save you. Realize that you're a sinner in need of salvation. Realize that works cannot save you. Point three. Realize that the problem is in your mind, not in God's mind. Again, I've done a whole talk on it called God's Forgiveness and Man's Real Problem. We won't go into the whole thing, but the problem is not in God's mind. God is not holding a grudge against you. So many times we think that our problem is guilt. We need forgiveness. We need to please God so He can forgive us. Listen, the Bible says, do I have it here? The next one. I'll come back to this verse. The Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world. Are you part of the world? Yes. God was in Christ reconciling the whole human race to Himself. And what's the next phrase? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. What does that mean? Not holding them guilty for what they did. Are we really reading that in the Bible? Yes, we are. We are. God is saying, listen, I'm not holding a grudge against you. Even before you were born, I forgave you. You want to know my heart towards you? You want to know how I feel towards you? Look at my son. I sent him to die for you while you were a sinner, while you were my enemy. I reached out to you. The problem is not in God's mind. God's mind towards you never, ever changed. The problem is in my mind. And that's what the verse before it says in Colossians 1, 21, 22. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies were in your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. The enmity is here in my mind, not in God's mind. God forgave me before I was born. The problem is not God forgiving me. The problem is me accepting that forgiveness. I don't want to spend any more time on it, but if you want to know more about it, get the presentation, God's Forgiveness and Man's Real Problem. Probably it's on a DVD here or it's online, and I talk more about it, explain it. That's why I said you can never exhaust studying and talking about the love of God. We haven't even scratched the surface yet. We haven't. You think that God is against you? You think that God hates you? You think that God wants to punish you? Look at the cross. Look at the cross. Okay. Point four. Realize that God has already saved you. I'm a sinner in need of salvation. I cannot save myself by my own works. God has already saved you. That's what the Bible says. Notice this verse. Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Salvation, brothers and sisters, is a finished work. Jesus accomplished the work of salvation. That's what he said on the cross. It is finished. It is accomplished. Jesus is not working anymore, trying to earn salvation, or what's the word now? Trying to finish the work of salvation. It is finished. Yes, he's working in the sanctuary, but he's not accomplishing the work of salvation. What he's doing in the sanctuary is he's ministering the finished work that he did to you. That's his work as the high priest. He's ministering his life. We are not ministers of the letter, but we are ministers of the Spirit. We are ministers of the Spirit of Christ, of the life of Christ. That is what our high priest is doing in the heavenly sanctuary. He's ministering his life to his people. He's working on their hearts and he's saying, son, daughter, I finished the work. It is complete. The table is set. The oxen are killed. The table is furnished. Just come. Receive my life. Salvation is a finished work, brothers and sisters. You already have been saved in Christ Jesus. What you need to ask yourself is this. Am I in Christ or am I in Adam? If you're in Adam, I don't care how many good works you do. You are a lost soul and you need salvation. Because you have a lost life in you. You have a wicked life in you. You have a carnal life in you. You have an unrighteous life in you that we inherited from Adam. You need to be in Christ. You need to have the life of Christ. The question is not how many good works you do. The question is, whose life do you have? Whose life do you have? Listen, your life. I've got news for you. You ready? You ready? Your life will never, ever be accepted in the sight of God. I don't care how many patches you put on it. I don't care how many stars and crowns you put on it. I don't care how many fancy words and fancy theology you put on it. Your life will never, ever be accepted in the sight of God. Amen. That's why God said, son, you need to die. That's what Romans 6 is about, right? We are buried with him. We die with him. You need to die because your life will never ever be accepted in the sight of God. Die with him and rise unto newness of life. Receive the life of my son because that's the only life that is acceptable in my sight. Isn't that what we saw in the parable? There is only one robe that qualified the guests to enter and stand before the king. His only qualification is to wear that robe. Your only qualification to enter into heaven is to receive the life of the Son. Get rid of your coat. Get rid of your life. Die to self and rise with Christ and let him live inside of you. Amen? That is the gospel. That is the gospel. The work of salvation, my dear brothers and sisters, is a finished work. And if somebody will tell you that you cannot save, that you cannot say that I am saved, the person is lying to you. Listen to what the Bible tells you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who has, talking about Christ, who has what? Read it. I won't dub you in, trust me. Who has what? Read it. Where is this thing? Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Question. Are you cold? Put your hand up if you think you're cold. Not cold as in hot and cold. Cold as in this type of cold. C-A-L-L-E-D. How do you say it? Cold. That one. Are you that one? Huh? Okay. Are you cold? Put your hand up if you're this one. Come on now. I'd like to say this word in Arabic. I'd like you to say it. See if you can say it better than me. Huh? Are you cold? Are you saved? Don't be afraid to say it. The same verse says he called us and he saved us. We're not scared to be saved, we're cold, but suddenly we shy to save, we are saved. I don't want to boast. I mean, I can't say that because, you know, I don't know. My name will come up in the judgment. And what if I forgot to confess a sin, you know, when I was 2 years old and I committed a sin? What if I can't? What's wrong with you? Honestly, what's wrong with you? God is not nitpicking. It's not an exchange, a sin for a confession, a sin for a confession. It's a whole lump thing. It's an exchange of life. The whole thing goes and a new thing comes in. We're not in the earthly sanctuary bringing a lamb for a sin. I punched this guy. Oh, high priest, here's the lamb because I punched. No. God is not dealing with you one sin at a time. There's a difference between the illustration of the gospel that is given in the Old Testament in the sanctuary and the reality of it. Many of them. But one thing, a crucial thing. A sinner took a lamb to the sanctuary. He killed the lamb. The priest took the blood into the sanctuary and sprinkled it. Right? Is the sinner forgiven? Yes. Yes. Is the sinner perfect? No. You know why not? Because in the old sanctuary, the lamb died and the lamb stayed dead. In the real gospel, the Lamb of God died, but the Lamb of God did not stay dead. He came back to life and he gives you his own life. So by his death, he forgives you his sins, but by his resurrection, he gives you a new life. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Being reconciled by his death, much more we shall be saved by his life. You're not saved by the death of Christ. You're not. You're reconciled by the death of Christ. You are saved by the life of Christ. Big difference. So whose life do you have? The Bible says he saved us. Past tense. Another one. Titus chapter 3 verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which I have done, but according to his mercy, he saved me by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Did he save me or didn't he? Did he or didn't he? If he saved me, why can't I say that I'm saved? Am I doubting what he did? Are you following what I'm saying? And how did he save me? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. I don't care what the work of righteousness that you did is. Not by that one. Whatever it is, park it there. Not by that one. It's by his grace he saved me. Amen? You're a sinner in need of salvation. You can't save yourself by your own works, but you need to understand that God saved you in Christ Jesus. It's a finished work. It's complete. It's done. He accomplished it. Time to rejoice in it. Stop looking for it and start understanding that it's done and it's found in him. You're going to see much more yet. Okay. Let me go in here. Okay. Point number 5. Realize that God is for you and not against you. So many times people think that God is against him. Yes, God will forgive you, but not me. God loves you, but I don't know about if he loves me. I mean, you don't know. Look, the Bible says, the Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. The Bible says in New Testament, we love him because he first loved us. God is for you. He's not against you. He loved you with an everlasting love. When you hated him, when you fought against him, when you chose to walk in darkness, when you chose Satan as your ruler, he came running after you, falling on his knees. That's what the message of the cross. To reach you. I love you. Come back. Come back. God is for you. God was the one who took the first step towards saving man. He was the one who initiated the plan of salvation. It wasn't me. If I was left up to what I want, I'll have nothing to do with God. And I mean that. Don't think that you were holy. You weren't. If man was left to his devising, he would have been fully in alliance with Satan and his agencies. Fully. But God said, no. I'm going after him. I know what it'll cost me, but I'm going after him. And the end of the story is Jesus on the cross. That's where we were. We looked at that yesterday. Separated from God. And Jesus said, I will go where they are. Separated from God. And I will bring them back. God is for you, not against you, brother and sister. God loves you. Point six, realize who you are in God's eyes and what you have in him. Do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? I mean, I don't want to spend all tonight and all tomorrow telling you who you are. I put them in a quick list with verses next to each one so you can see it for yourself. But the first thing that stands out is the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus. Stop reading. Look at me. Have you accepted Christ Jesus?
Yes.
If you're sure you accepted Christ Jesus, put your hand up. If you're not, you're a lost soul in need of salvation. You either crown him or you crucify him. You either have Christ or you don't have Christ. There's no in between. You either accept Jesus, or if you haven't accepted him, I'm telling you now, you need him in your life. Now, if you accepted Jesus, the Bible says, not I. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I didn't say that. That's how God defined you. If I was to define you, I'd write something totally different. That's how God defined you. And he defined me too. You are a new creature. Here's a challenge for you. Tomorrow morning, when you wake up, you go to the bathroom to wash your face, look in the mirror and say, good morning, new creature. Hey man, I'm not joking. I'm serious. That's who you are. You need to remind yourself. It's not a laughing matter, though it's funny. But it's not a laughing matter. It's seriousness. It's who you are. Listen, so many times we feel unworthy. We feel like we are failures. We feel like we are an old, same old man. You need to differentiate between what you feel and what God says. I recognize that's what you feel. I feel that too sometimes. But we don't walk by feeling, we walk by faith. Faith is built on the word of God, not on how I feel. So here is some counseling for you. Differentiate between how you feel and what the word of God says. The word of God says you are a new creature. The word of God says all things are passed away. The word of God says all things have become new. You know why all things? Because the new man is the inner man. The inner man is the new creature. The new creature is Who can quote Galatians 2 verse 20? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but who?
Christ.
Who?
Christ.
Who's the new creature?
I am.
I am dead, and Christ liveth in me. The new creature is Christ living his life in me. All things are become new in the inner man inside of you. Just let him shine. Just learn to rest and let him come out. Now, this is what you have. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. You have power. That's what God said. I didn't say it, man. That's what God said. He said, you have power to become, to live like the Son of God. I'm just telling you reality. Whether you experience it or not is a different story. I'm telling you what God said you are. Now here's the list of what you have and who you are in Christ. We'll go through it quickly. You are forgiven. The verses are there. When I get to the end, if you want, just take a picture of it or write it down, whatever you want. Forgiven. You are justified. You are sanctified. Listen, all these are past tense. All these are past tense. Write the verses down and look them up. You're forgiven. You're justified. You're sanctified. You are saved. You are freed from sin. You are freed from the curse. You are reconciled. You are redeemed. You are adopted. You are made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are without condemnation. You have eternal life right now. It is yours. It's not a future thing. It's a present thing. You have been delivered from the power of darkness, and you have been made citizen of the kingdom of his dear Son. Is it a wonder that Paul tells us you are complete in him? That's the list that I could come up with. I'm sure there is much more. But that's what God said you are. I'm just a messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. That's who God said you are. That's your reality. Do you believe it? Listen, man, if I tell you, I've got news for you, man, you won the lottery, you've got $1 million, you'll be jumping up and down. But I tell you, you have eternal life. Huh? You should be rejoicing. This is good news, brother and sister. Listen, it's not a good idea. What I'm telling you is not a good idea. It's not. What I'm telling you is the reality. Not because I said it. Who am I? So forget about what I'm saying. Listen to what God is saying. That's what God said you are in Christ Jesus. The only question you have, the only choice you can make is choose him. That's it. That's it. This is your reality in Christ Jesus. This is who you are. You need to realize it. You need to believe it. If you want to walk the walk of faith. If you don't believe it, don't bother walking the walk of faith, because the faith is built on the Word of God. If you don't believe the Word of God, what kind of faith do you have? What are you building your faith on? On feelings? I'm serious, brothers and sisters. Faith grows by hearing and hearing the Word of God. You want to build your faith? Dwell on these things. Dwell on them. Because that's what God said you are. Okay, point 7, believe what the Word of God says about you. Why? Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. You need to believe it. And Jesus says, all things are possible to you that believe. You know, the story goes of Houdini. Have you heard of Houdini? You couldn't lock him anywhere. You just couldn't lock the man. It's a true story, what I'm telling you. He put a challenge out. Lock me in any jail cell in this country. Give me 1 hour and I will be out. So one jail took that challenge, said, come. Put him in a jail, shut the door, and they left. After they left, he secretly pulled a little steel rod out of his belt and he started working. Half an hour, he's trying to unlock the key. 2 hours, he couldn't unlock it, and suddenly, out of exhaustion, he fell on the door and the door swung open. They never locked the door. In his mind, it was locked, and because it was locked in his mind, he couldn't unlock it, and he spent 2 hours inside and he lost the challenge. If you believe, all things are possible. How many doors are locked in your mind because you're not believing the word of God? Amen. Are you following me? Faith is not difficult. It is easy. Just believe. All what Abraham did is he believed that what God had promised, God is able to do. Lord, you promised that you will give me a son, so I'm going to now rest and believe that you are able to give me a son. God said, that's it. It is counted unto you for righteousness. And to all those who will believe like him. That's what Romans 4 says towards the end of the chapter. Just believe that what God has promised, God is able to do. God promised to save you. All what he's asking you to do is believe that I can save you. Let me save you. Just let me change you. Just learn to rest in me. Learn to let me live my life in you. That's all. All things are possible to him that believe. The first thing we need to believe, though, after listing all these things, but the key, the initial thing of all these things is found in Romans chapter 6 and verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. You can't live with him if you haven't died with him. The first thing you need to understand and realize that you died with Christ. You're dead. We need to learn to believe that we are dead. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Reckon it, believe it, consider it. Believe that you're dead to sin. It is a walk of faith. It starts by faith, including you dying to sin. You die to sin by faith. And you rise to newness of life by faith. It is a walk of faith. Point 8. Do not be moved from it. The Bible says, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You need to continue in the faith that is given to you and grounded and settled. Don't be moved from it. The list that you read before about you, you need to believe it. You need to be grounded on it and do not be moved from it. Listen, Satan will come to you and he will accuse you. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's going to bring all the sins you did in the past. And believe me, there's not one person in this room that has not sinned. Amen. Including me. Satan will bring them to you and says, you're a sinner. Tell him, yes, I was. I was a bad sinner. Actually, sorry, I was a good sinner. I was good at it. But Christ has redeemed me from the curse of sin. Christ had saved me from the power of sin. And Christ has given me a new life. You're right, Satan. I was a sinner. But I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. Don't be moved from it. Don't be moved from it. Hold on to your faith. And do not neglect it, point 9. Don't neglect it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? Do not neglect. Now, neglect is not necessarily reject. They're two different things. You don't have to reject it in order to neglect it. And you neglect something that is yours. You can't neglect something that is not yours. I can't neglect to wash Obama's car. I don't have access to the car. It's not mine. So I didn't neglect to wash it. You can only neglect something that is already yours. And Paul is saying, do not neglect so great salvation that was given to you. It's yours. It's in your possession. Don't neglect it. Don't ignore it. The more I study the gospel, the more I realize that it is all about the condition of my heart. It's my relationship with Christ. It's the love that I have for Him. The Bible says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." He's not saying, "Go observe my ways." No, no, no. He's saying, "Give me your heart and stand back and watch what I'm going to do in you." If you give me your heart, you will end up observing all my ways. You with me? That's what God is saying. That's what Jesus said. Do I have it here? No. If you love me, keep my commandments. The focus is not on keeping the commandments. The focus is on if you love me. If you love me, you'll end up keeping my commandments. What is the condition of your heart? Do you love the Lord? Don't pride yourself with the obedience you do. The Pharisees beat you at it. The question is, do you love me? Do you love me? Where is your heart? And do not treat the gospel of your salvation lightly. Don't neglect it. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And many people read this verse and start tripping. Let's start. There you go. Work your salvation with fear and trembling. You got to work, brother. You got to work with trembling because there is fear and torment and fire and brimstone to the disobedient. Just quiet down. That's not what it's saying. Work your salvation with fear and trembling doesn't mean go out there and work the law. That's not what he's talking about. It's the same author that condemned salvation by works. What he's saying is continue to live in a way that gives meaning to your salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, having said that, and that's going to be my last point, there is a fight for me to fight. There is a work for me to do. But you need to learn, and that's the last point, point 10, you need to learn how to fight. The problem that we have as Christians is we do not know how to fight. We think my fight is in, I gotta stop smoking. I must stop smoking. I can't stop smoking. Let me tell you what, tomorrow you're going to be smoking. You know, one guy came once to a village and he said, "Come here, all of you. I'm going to show you how to turn water into gold. I'm going to demonstrate it for you. Bring me a bucket of water." Ooh, you know, all the villagers, they got him a bucket of water. So he got the bucket of water and he's got his stick and he started stirring the water. And while he's chanting and banting and all this stuff, he dropped a few pieces of gold out of his sleeve in the water. Voila! And everybody. And the chief came to me and said, "Move, move, come here. Give me the secret. What do you want? I'll give you anything. Give me the secret." And the guy said, "Okay," he agreed on a sum. And he told him, the guy took the sum of money and the guy who turned the water into gold, he told the chief the secret. He told him, "But there is one condition. When you're doing it, you cannot think of the red-faced monkey. If you think of the red-faced monkey, it will not work." Guess what the chief thought of every time he sat down to turn the water into gold? The red-faced monkey. He could never turn the water into gold because of that red-faced monkey. Listen, you need to turn your attentions from your sin to your sin bearer. Stop looking at the wounds and start looking at the brazen serpent. Are you following what I'm saying? By beholding, you become changed. If you are constantly focusing on your works, on your sins, and how to overcome them, I have news for you. I know it by experience. The first opportunity you get it, you're going to do it. Because by beholding, you become changed. It's a principle that God has put in the spiritual world. The more you think of your sin, the more you're going to sin. Simple. The more you think of Christ, the more you will be like Him. The way I put it, a conscience focus on Christ will lead you to an unconscious holiness. Did you get that? A conscience focus on Christ will lead you to an unconscious holiness. You spend your time thinking on Christ, looking at Him, spending time with Him, meditating on Him. It's only a matter of time before you turn around and say, "Hey man, I haven't punched this guy in a long time. I haven't done this in a long time." Are you getting what I'm saying? By beholding, you become changed. So, the last point that I'm going to tell you is learn how to fight. And Paul calls it, fight the good fight of faith. What is the fight of faith? What is it? So many times, because we do not know where our fight is, we end up losing the battle. We think our fight is, "Lord, help me to overcome this. Lord, help me not to do this. Lord, help me with this." That's not your fight. Your fight is not to ask God and to wonder if He's going to help you or not. The fight of faith is you fighting at a higher level. Is you fighting that, "Lord, I know You've made me a new creature. Lord, I know You've put the power inside of me. I know that You're living Your life inside of me. I know that I no longer do this because I am a new creature. I know that I have eternal life." That is the fight of faith. Because the very next word He says, lay hold on eternal life. He didn't say go looking for it. No, no. Lay hold on to it. Don't let it go. It's in your hands. The fire of faith is, "I am here, Lord. You've made me a new creature. I know I am a new creature. That's who I am." That's where your fire of faith is. Are you with me? As Christians, we don't know how to fight. We're fighting the wrong battle. We're fighting the fire of works instead of fighting the fire of faith. The fire of faith is to believe what God said. Go back to the list that I showed you and start fighting with me that fight. "Lord, I know that I've been forgiven all my sins. Not because I deserve it, but because You said so and You love me. Lord, I know that I have eternal life. I know that I've been redeemed. I know that I have been saved. I know that is who I am." I've done a whole message on it entitled "The Fire of Faith." Get it and watch it. There are different levels of faith. The presentation is called "The Fight of Faith." Get it and watch it, so you can understand more on what I'm saying. But we need to learn how to fight as Christians. We need to learn how to fight the fight of faith. Do I have one more? John says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Is this who you are? I know I have boldness in the judgment because I am confident, I am sure, I believe that as He is, so am I in this world right now. Because not I, but Christ liveth in me. I know that I will be accepted in the sight of the King because it's not my robe, it's His, and I'm wearing it. It's not my doing, it's His, and I've received it. And I'm going to Him with His gift, not with my works. I know I'll be accepted. I know I have boldness in the judgment. Do you know? Do you have boldness? Is this who you are? Because that's what the Word of God says about you. Do you believe? Because if you believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Is the door locked in your mind? Because if it is, even if it's open, it's going to be locked. Or are you waking up to the reality and realizing that the door is actually not locked? It's open. Jesus said, "I am the door. Come through me." The door is open. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is assurance, brothers and sisters. No one will be able to snatch him out of my hands, and no one will be able to snatch him out of my Father's hands. Our confidence is not that I am holding on to Christ. No, 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 no. The promise is not that you're holding on to him. The promise that Jesus gave you is that he is holding on to you, and the Father is holding on to you, and no one is stronger than Christ and Father. Amen. And he is the one who's holding on to you. Yes. You're the only one who can let yourself go from his hands. I don't want you anymore. Let me go. God is a gentleman. He will let you go. But so long, Lord, I am in you. You are in me. I am a new creature. Jesus has promised. No one, not Satan, nor any of his angels will be able to snatch you out of my hands. This is a promise that he gave us. Are you as he is in this world? Amen? So, to sum it all up, here are the points that I'd like to share with you in closing of this camp. Here are the points that I'd like you to realize, to keep in your mind as you are continuing this walk of faith. Realize that you are an ungodly sinner in need of salvation. Realize that works will not save you. Realize that God has already saved you. It is a finished work. Realize that the problem is in your mind, not in God's mind. God is not holding a grudge against you. He has forgiven you before you were even born. Realize that God is for you, not against you. He has loved you with an everlasting love. Realize who you are in God's eyes. You are a new creature. You're a possessor of eternal life. You're righteous, redeemed, sanctified, and justified. You're a citizen of the kingdom of His dear Son. You are free from sin and you are free from the curse of the law. You are complete in Him. That's what the Bible says. Believe what the Word says about you. Don't just read it and good words and sounds good. Believe it, brother. Believe it, sister. Because all things are possible to him that believes. Do not be moved from it. Do not neglect it. Don't let Satan snatch you out of the hands of God. Don't neglect it. And get busy with your farm or your merchandise. You've been invited to the wedding. There is a seat for you. There is a robe for you with your name on it. Go claim it. And the last one, learn how to fight the fight of faith. Lay hold onto eternal life and do not let go of it. It is yours. Because Christ has given it to you. It is a done deal. Satan has been conquered. Death has been defeated. Satan and sin has been crushed down. You're free. You know why? Because if the Son will make you free, you are free indeed. And He said, I have freed you. In me, do you want my life? He has authored a life in which sin has been conquered, death has been defeated, Satan has been crushed, the curse has been taken away, and it is free from sin. And he says, here it is, just receive it. Let me live in you. That's all what he's asking. Will you let him?
If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with others and do not forget to subscribe. God bless you.